It's a nice little circle of people here. Enjoy that. A bit like my last family reunion, so that's perfect. No, that's completely fine, of course. I'm going to talk about IBIServer running on Azure, but in general, IBIServer. You guys know IBIServer? You heard about it? I hope you guys are not experienced IBIServer developers, because then you're going to be bored, and I really don't want to lose anybody from this tight group here. Since we're so few, just jump in and ask me questions along the way. We'll take it nice and easy. That's the classical about me slide here. Trying to write it all in code. I hope you guys speak code, by the way, because otherwise, again, it might be a bit boring. I'm going to try to do a bit of coding here along the way, at least. I'm from Denmark, which is why I don't speak Dutch very well. I've tried. I mean, the languages are somewhat alike. It's just the kh I can't really get right here. I work for IBIServer. My title is Director of Research because we are an American company and everybody has to be a director. But basically, I get to code and have fun with code. And prototype and show ideas and do stuff like this every once in a while when they let me out of my cage. So, by the way, do you guys know the Expando object? Which it's just a little, it has nothing to do with IBIServer, it's just one of my favorite small hidden secrets here because the Expando object works with dynamic, but you can also address it as a dictionary, which I kind of think is kind of cool because you can dynamically build up something that you can address dynamically. Anyway. You guys know from the view back, that's Expando objects. IBIServer, I'm not going to bore you guys with a lot of slides, but I have to have a few of the corporate slides in here. Basically, what it's all about is that we want to help people realize their brilliant ideas. We want to make sure that it's easy to get going, get your stuff out there without having to worry about the platform and all the boring stuff that you have to do. I'll get back to that in a second here. We do content management, which is like our origin. We also do digital marketing. That's the new word for content management, plus a bit more. We do digital commerce. We have a lot of e-commerce shops all around the world, and we do personalization. And whatever we do, it kind of keeps changing. Like yesterday, just after I'd made my slides, this one came in. Of course, we acquired a new company in Germany. And a month ago, we acquired another company. So what we do kind of changes all the time. That's the name of the game in this world, I guess. And, you know, we have the classical slides of partners and customers around the world, which is great. But really what I want to talk about is how do you get from a blank scratch MC Visual Studio project to some place where you can actually work with your ideas and get the stuff you want to get done out of the way. Basically, we want to be there and take care of all the boring stuff. We want to do the editor UI. We want to have the database management. We want to do the things that are in there, but that you don't really want to do every single time you build a project, every single time you have to work with something. We just want to be there without being in the way. I think that's the key point for when you do content management, is really not being in the way of the developer. And that's my slides, pretty much. I'm going to jump into some code here. You guys are familiar with Visual Studio, I take it? C# is okay? Yeah, great. Do you guys do MVC or web forms? Anybody does web forms anymore? Let me ask that way. No? That's good, because I prepared this stuff for MVC, but of course you can code any pattern you really want. It's good to just kind of get the right tool set up. I always, when I have a new Visual Studio, go to extensions and updates and just pull in the online and search for IBIServer. That'll give you this one, which is already installed here, but it's a good place to get started because you get the right templates and stuff to get going. Also, we have our own NuGet feed because everything is basically just pulled in as NuGet packages, but we want it to be in control, so we added our own feed. So generally go into your package manager settings and the package sources, and you can just add the feed here. And on nuget.ibisor.com, you can find the right URLs and details to add it, as well as browse the packages. But anyway, I already did that, and then you can go ahead and you can say new project, and of course you can start an IBIServer project. You could also just start a regular web project and add in the NuGet packages for IBIServer, but you get a bit of configuration and stuff out of the box when you start this one. Now, I had a similar talk like this yesterday, and I kind of learned my lesson there that sometimes Visual Studio takes a bit of time when you don't want it, when you're doing a live demo and you're pressed for time. So I already started, basically hit the OK button for this and had that going in here, because that was like 2 more minutes I had to talk before Visual Studio downloads all the packages and updates them and whatever. Usually, if you do it at home, it's a good time to get a cup of coffee, I find. But we don't have time for that here. So, this is pretty much what you get out of the box. An MT projects, I call the Tech Days demo. And it's just standard MVC project with nothing in it. You can see we have a database and the app data. You have empty folders around here. And you can actually just hit Control F5, you can run it, and you'll get a nice old 404 error because it's an empty website, you don't have anything. But because you have the EbiServer packages installed, by default here you can actually go to /EbiServer, and you will, actually in this case I'm already logged in, but you'll get a login screen and you'll be able to access the backend of EbiServer right there. So you have that just empty project, get going, hit start. In this case you didn't see me log in, but of course, everything in EbiServer is based on providers, it's standard membership and role providers. And by default, it works both with the SQL membership role provider and it works with the Windows membership role provider. So I just logged in using my Windows credentials for an administrator on the local machine. But I could also just create a user, add in the database, work with that. Or you could connect it to anything else. We have a lot of people right now using Azure AD and so on. Connect to whatever authentication system you really wanted to. It, I'm in, I'm out. So, to get started building a website, which is basically what I'm going to do, I'm going to start here from scratch, build a very basic website, get you an idea of how you work with this without EbiServer being in the way, hopefully. And then I'm going to put that on Azure and show you how it all fits together. I've always liked when I work with the MVC pattern to start defining my models first, match them up with my business objects. And in this case, EbiServer kind of likes to work with at least these three different kind of types: pages, blocks, and media. A page object is a content object that is URL addressable. So you can put that, you can build up a tree structure with it, you will have URLs for those, you can go straight to those. So that could be like a start page type, it could be an article page type, it could be an app page type if you have a special app you want to show in there. The size is good enough. And you basically would go in here, add a new type, and you would pick from all the different types. We have an image over here, a page type, and you'd give it a name. And you'd start working with that. Again, I've learned my lesson here. I have one here that we can go ahead and include in the project, but I'll walk you guys through what's actually happening in here. This is pretty much what you get out of the box here. You get a page type that inherits from page data. Now, page data is the foundation that we have for all page content objects. But you could have your own foundation and just base that on page data and then do a full inheritance hierarchy. And that way reuse your structures of how you define your models, of course. It's just a matter of making the classes. All your content classes in EbiServer is strongly typed. At least that's what we propose you do. Because it makes it so much easier to get the compile time errors along the way and autocomplete when you're working with them anywhere in your system. For a page, you basically just define the properties you want to have on that page that you want the editors to be able to work with and set. And you can, of course, assign different attributes to them based on how you want them to be displayed to the editor. The one that came out of the box is the main body, just already set up. It's supposed to be an XHTML string, meaning that the editor will actually get a full VisiWik editor for that, as opposed to if it was just a string where they would just get a normal text box. We've also added something here called a main area, which is of the type content area. And the content area is a place on a page where you could drag and drop as an editor other elements that you want to be have reusable. It could be a picture, it could be a little promotion blog, it could be a link to another page. Just drag them together, reorder them. So it's a nice flexible area. Those are the two areas we put in here. You could have number of states, whatever. You can, of course, also create your own types and add them in there with their own renderings and assign various stuff to them, like where do you want it to be shown to the editor, so on. You give it a display name for the editor, so on and so forth. At the same time, while we're creating types, I would want to create a block type as well. And because I'm lazy, I'm just going to include that, that I already made. But it's, again, a very default block type here. The block type is a promotion blog I made. And a blog is, again, reusable piece of content. This is not URL addressable, but this is something that you can create and reuse on many pages. That fits into a different hierarchy, basically. So you can have a library of different blocks, promotion, banners, whatever you want to do. And again, they can be structured in a way that, that you want them to be structured. In this case, we have a headline, and we added an image and a link that you could put in there. Note that all of these are declared as virtual. That's because IBServer is using structure map and doing IOC. So it'll actually create a new proxy class for this when it's actually running, which is why it needs to be able to inherit it and make it virtual. We also have the images, which is media. And you could add any kind of media. Now it's just images I took. That's an easy thing to demo, but you could have PDFs, you could have whatever. And in this case, we assign a media descriptor to it. So we set up which extensions it should automatically connect with this. If you upload a file to the server, which class should it automatically connect that, which type should it connect it to? And the point here is that you probably want to have control over this area yourself as well, because sometimes you want to store copyright information or usage details on an image or alternate text for it, titles, whatever. So you can basically create your own strongly typed object around the image. But of course, inheriting, in this case, from image data, it also has a blob key. So it will be connected to a blob in a blob storage. You could, of course, set up multiple blobs. You could have a thumbnail attached to the same image, and so on. Actually, I think there's a thumbnail included, but if you wanted multiple thumbnails of different sizes, you could add those as properties in here as well. So, three basic blocks working here. And the next step is typically to add a controller. So, if we go in here, we'll add a controller, standard page controller. And the page controller here is a regular MVC controller. It's just inheriting from the IBServer page controller. Again, you could create a block controller as well, a media controller, inheriting from a standard controller. You don't have to, because we have default ones in there. But in many cases, you want to add some controller logic in here. You would want to do, you know, build your own view model. In this case, it's actually just taking this model that we already defined and passing that along to the view. But you might want to add some stuff. You might want to have navigation or search results or whatever you want to build up, do some logic around, pass on. You might want to build your own wonderful, amazing idea of a web app that does whatever it does in your standard way in MVC and just add that along with some content that is controlled by an editor. And this is where you do that as a standard controller, basically. So looking at what I've included right now, we have a controller. We have blocks, we have media, and we have one page type. Obviously, it would be fun to have more page types, and you typically would do that. You would have more block types and so on. But this is a starting point, right? We have something, we have it going. The last thing we do in the MVC is obviously add a view. And just looking here, if I go in here, I would add the, well, the page view I already prepared here. And in this case, I'm using the model, of course. That goes without saying. And I am adding in the properties that I have in the model. In this case, I want to add an H1 with the name of the page. And the main body will be put in there. And then I'm going to list the main area. I could change that around. I could do whatever I want. When I use the model directly like this, it's just outputting it, as you guys know when you usually use a model. When I'm using this extension method, property 4, it's going to treat it like a property, meaning that if an editor is logged in and sees that page, the editor can edit the property right on the page. So generally, that's probably the best practice to change around and use property 4. I could actually go right up here and do that. Uh, I think it's just called name, right? That was the one. So I've configured all of this. I also want some navigation on my site. And for navigation, there are several approaches you could take. One approach would be that you do it in the controller. So you would create a view model for every single thing you want to show. And then in the controller, you would have some logic that would go and identify what are the child pages I want to navigate to, what are the links, add that to a view model, pass that along. And you can do that in a clever way. You can do that generically, of course, so you inherit the same basic controller that generically induces, injects navigation based on where you are. And that's a good approach. For demos, I like a bit simpler approach. I've just created a helper class that does the navigation. And I'll show you guys how that works here. I call it Navigation Helper. I'm going to include that in my project. And so, as I mentioned before, everything in IBServer is based on providers and on services and then inversion of control. So when you want to work with something, in this case, the content, you want to get the content repository, and you use the service locator to fetch an instance of the content repository. That also means that you can go and replace pretty much any single part in IBServer with your custom implementation of it or inherit from it, extend it to do what you want and replace it in there. But in this case, when you do unit testing, you can mock them, of course. In this case, I'm just getting the repository. And I basically made a method here that'll get the children of a given page. I give it a page. The current page, it's an extension method. And then I'm going to return strongly type children of that page based on the link to the page, where they have a default setting called visible in menu, meaning that I want them to be shown in a menu. That's an out-of-the-box setting. Using that, looking at the view, I can actually put the navigation logic, if you want to call it that, the display of the navigation straight in the view, because I'm just using the extension method here. Navigating for every child in the current model. That is of the type page data, which is the basic type. I could even go further and type them into standard page, because right now that's the only type I have, so I know they will be standard pages. And then I can, in this case, I'm displaying just the link to them, but I could access any of the properties, work with them any way I want. You might recognize the look and feel of this. It is standard Twitter Bootstrap I'm using for the design and layout here. So just to make that work, I'm just including the completely out-of-the-box standard Bootstrap layout, which has nothing to do with IBServer. This is just HTML, right? So I've set this up, so I should actually be able to just compile and run. Didn't do that. Come on. And if I go into my CMS here, I can go to edit mode. And it just compiled, so it needs to prepare here. So you'll see this is the view an editor would have. I have my tree structure over here of my pages and my site. And again, we're trying to keep it as simple as possible here. Right now, there's just the root that's the default system root. I'm going to create a page. Had I had multiple page types, I would now be presented with an option. Which type do you want to create here? But there's only one option, so obviously it'll just create one. Welcome to Tech Days could be a name for this. And this is pretty much the layout we had. There's an F bar, but there's no pages in it right now because we have no other pages. We have the XHTML field in here. If we start editing that as an editor, we'll get a VisualVig editor we can work with. Type it, it auto-saves, so you don't have to worry about that as an editor. And we have a content area where we could drag and drop different content. We don't have any content right now, but we could access it. Of course, we handle all the versioning, multi-language, all that stuff. You can combine stuff into projects, we can publish it. We can actually publish it right now, but it won't really make a difference because it's just local. We need to configure a few things now because we are starting to build a site, and this should be like the start page of a site. So I jump into my admin settings here, and I will go and I say I want to manage website. I want to add a site. And of course, you can have many different websites running in the same instance, sharing the same content, but still with different layouts if you want that. Tech Days Demo could be the name of the site. And we will add this URL. And we'll assign a start page for the website. That'll let us pick this page. And I think that'll be fine. Actually, let me just have a look here. Later, we're going to add deploy to Azure. So I might as well just add a wildcard to make sure that we actually get something when we go to Azure. Otherwise, it wouldn't recognize the Azure URL. And of course, you can also assign different domain names for different local regions, .nl to the Dutch version of the site and so on here. So we've created that one there and set that up. You can just download this and go ahead and use it without any kind of license when you're running it in IIS Express locally. But if you want to deploy it to Azure, you want to have a license file, which means you'd have to go and sign up for a demo license if you want to try it out. Or you'd be one of our partners or customers and buy one. There are different ways of getting licenses. In this case, I actually already added a license file to it, which I will also go down here and include in my project. It's just a config file you drop in the project. So that's included, and we are ready with that. Now, we have the promotion blocks, we have the media for the image, but we don't have any in there yet. Let's just add the include in project, the views for the image and for the promotion. The media view here is basically just how I want it to be displayed. In this case, I'm showing an image. And I'm showing the URL to the content and the description and the title of that and a name. And I have no idea why it wants a paragraph there. I can just remove that. For the promotion, I've decided I want a Jumbotron block with a headline, an image, and a link. So we can promote a piece of content on another page or on another site if we want to. So, with all this there, I just changed view so I don't have to recompile. I can jump right in here, go to my edit mode. And you'll now notice that because we added as a site, this is actually the start page, and if I were to just go to the root of the site, it actually works now. The root of that site will take you to the page we have going on. One thing at a time, we added some navigation. Let's just see if that works. So if I create a menu item one page here, we don't have to have any content now. I'm just going to publish it. And again, we only have one page type here, so that's what it'll create automatically. Menu item two. This might be like an about us page or something like that. And we could publish that one as well. You can go in to forms edit for anything here. And you can actually change some things. You can, for instance, see the name in the URL, and you can change what the name in the URL will be, because the URLs will, by default, but again, that's a provider you can change and modify, by default be built up the same way that your menu structure is. So slash and then the names in the URL. Straightforward and easy. And you can, of course, set the permissions and which languages it exists in and navigate all that stuff here. And also work with the content in a more structured way. Some people prefer that, some people prefer to do it straight on the page. That's a matter of taste, really. You can, of course, also change the ordering here just by moving them around. And now if I go up here and look at the tech days, you'll see that we actually have menu item one, menu item two, right there, because I've added them. And if I were to go into one of them and say don't show in menu, display navigation. Disable that one. That's a change. I have to publish. I go back up here. It's gone from the navigation, of course. So updates dynamically, everything kind of works together that way. I will create a folder in here, put my assets and my blocks in my folders. Let's call it the main side folder. That's probably not a very good name to use in a real life scenario, but we have that there. We can also go to my media. You'll see they share the same folder structure, even though it's a bit different. With the media, I can upload, let's see, some images. Where did I put that? Take this demo is here, and I would take like a few logos I have lying around here. I should be able to drag and drop that. Once again, it won't work for me. I don't know why that is. It works every time I'm not in a demo. I think it's because it doesn't like me anymore. You could also go in here and just go ahead and say upload images and pick the image you want to upload, like this one here. It's uploaded, we have the image here. I don't know why the other thing failed. That's okay. Now when you have an image, you can, for instance, drag that in to a content area where it'll be shown. Or you could even use it inside an HTML area. Drag that in there. You have an image there. You could, of course, also take the image and open it in an image editor and modify the size and width and all that stuff. But that's more of an editorial thing. I'm going to create the block. A block, not the block. We could call this promotion 1. And again, this is a reusable piece of content. We could go in here and we basically say learn more about IPy Server. And we could give it the image we found before. We could give it a link to a page on this side or to another site, in this case, ipysure.com. And we would publish that blog. And much the same way, we could, when working with this piece of content here, we could drag it in and add it here, learn more about ipyserver. I don't want to dig too deeply in here, but just to show you, it's easy also for editors to work with, and that's how they would typically create some content and work with that. We support so many more things. You can have multiple rendering channels for mobile devices. You can code your different channels. Something that a lot of editors like to use is Vista groups, where they can divide their audience into different segments, personalize content for them. In this case, I created one, Vistas from Europe, where you basically can go in here and you can you know, build up various rules based on the user profile, how many times they've been to your site, if they've seen a certain page, or where they're coming from geographically, and use that to subdivide visitors and, of course, direct them to the right place. In this case, you could even go in here and say personalize this piece of content and say only show that. Everyone sees that promotion right now, but I could say I only want visitors from Europe to see that one. You could even do that down to a piece of text in the HTML text field. It's really that simple. So anyway, we have that going there. We could go ahead and hit publish again. And we can, of course, preview as different visitors from Europe will see the full promotion block there. So I've done some coding. I've gotten all this going for me. Now I want to deploy to Azure. So deploying to Azure is something you can do in a few steps. You don't have to do it in that many steps. We have an Azure package. If you use NuGet, you go in, manage NuGet packages at Azure. Search for Azure in the IPyServer feed, and you'll basically get connectors to the blob storage in Azure and the Azure service bus and so on, which can be useful. typically you should have your blobs in the blob storage, of course. It's still connected to the database, so we can store the versions and stuff like that, but we want to store the binary in a blob storage. That's so much cheaper than putting them in the database, and faster as well. At the same time, the service bus is useful if you have many front-end servers running the website, sharing the same database in the back. They'll all cache a lot of content. And if one of them has an editor changing a piece of content in the database, you want to tell the others through the service bus that, oh, this piece of content has changed, go delete it from your cache and fetch it again. So the service bus is really used when you're doing load balancing on multiple front-end boxes. Of course, when you work with Azure, you deploy it all as web apps, or app services, as they're called now. And this is what I really love about it. When you want to deploy something, you just go into Visual Studio and you hit publish. And you can see I've already done it here. I've already configured it to a site on Azure because, again, I learned yesterday that it takes a while for Azure to provision a new site and then wait around for that. In this case, I already did that, but you basically go right ahead. You could update the database straight from here, and there's a database script you can use to create a new database on Azure. But it does, in my opinion, work best the first time you deploy it, if you build up a local database and then you move that database to Azure. And of course, you can use move that using SQL Server Management Studio. I personally have better experiences with databases in Azure using this free tool, the SQL Azure Move tool. I don't know if you guys know it, but it basically scripts the entire database and then runs the scripts against Azure. I've already done that, so we don't have to wait for that. But you just go through this like six steps where it picks your local database and scripts it up, and then you connect to the Azure server and run it there. So I've already uploaded a database. It's the right connection string to the database, and I can just go ahead and say publish. It'll do a build and deploy to an Azure site. And if all goes well, I'm kind of cheap. This can actually run on the free plan. I think this is a basic plan, but again, it's not the fastest in the world. It has to pre-compile and load. But then you'll actually see that it's running on Azure, and you could, of course, connect to it there. Let's just have a moment for that. So it's not the same content you saw me create before because I already uploaded the database, obviously. But the site, the code that we did on the site is this exact code. And you can log in here, /ibserver. But wait, now we can't actually log in using our Windows credentials because we're on Azure. I could have connected it to the Azure ID, but I didn't. Instead, I actually went in before I uploaded the database and created a user in the database that I'm now using to log in. It actually remembers my cookie here, I can see. But again, we can go in here and we can start working with the content here, and we can edit and add and create different pieces of content just the same way. The types we created locally will automatically update. When we deploy the code, it'll update so it's the same types the editor has there. And if you change something, add a piece of code, it'll work the same way. So we've added it to Azure, we have it up and running, and we actually already have plenty of time. One little bonus thing I want to show here is that if you want to try it out in Azure, you can do this. Just get Visual Studio, get the extension, pretty much run through what I've done here. Or you can, if you just want to get the edit mode experience, you can go into your Azure portal, say add new, and add new. Search the marketplace for ibserver, and you can start something up from the marketplace. That's a basic evaluation version you get here. The cool thing about that, though, is that you get a full working site with a lot of content, a lot of stuff you can actually see, and you can use that to kind of navigate around, see if you like the feel of it. The bad thing is that you can't really connect to it with Visual Studio, or you'd have to connect and then download the code from the site, FTP up and down, whatever, right? or get the publish settings republished. But if you want to build something in Visual Studio, I recommend just going from the start. And an alternative, I started completely from scratch. An alternative is actually you can get the default site. It's good to have as a reference. You go again, say new project in Visual Studio, episode project, and then it lets you pick if you want an empty site or a reference site. And if you go with the reference site, you can decide between MVC or web forms. So it's always a good idea just to start and get the reference site. You can kind of see some of the code that you would maybe need to write. Some of it might be overly enterprisey and complex, some of it might not. In this case, for instance, it's defining display channels for different devices and so on. But it kind of shows you all the different things and how you would do them if you work with it that way. Has examples of different controllers and different helpers and so on. And you can deploy that as well. That's just already been done for you if you go and launch it in Azure. And I actually, again, it takes a little while for its provision, so I cheated and already launched it in Azure. What did happen there? Tech days, demo, no, tech days. Alloy demo. I think this is the URL for it. And once you launch that, you have to complete a little wizard about who you are. Alan, missed an N there. And of course, accept the classic license agreement. Give a username and password for the admin users to log in with. And pick a user interface language, and then you can finish it up. It will adjust your settings and give you a site you can actually start working with and play with if you want to. And you guys are welcome to do that. It comes with a 30-day free trial evaluation license. You get a little video where you can learn about what you should try when you go to the site. You can jump straight into edit mode, for instance. On the site, it'll now pre-compile the site. In this case, you'll see it has a bunch of extensions added already. When you use the episode NuGet feed, you can go and look, and there are like 150 different extensions for the system, of course. You can add cool new forms, you can add connectors to Twitter, Facebook, Marketo, Silverpop, whatever systems you would prefer. And it's all based on NuGet. Yeah, so it's loading here. We have everything ready and you can actually start working in it with a bigger site, bigger functionality. Of course, see the different, like I want to work on a mobile device, all that stuff. All that is set up here for you. You can start working with it. One last thing I want to mention here is I said we're all doing things on NuGet here. That also means that if you want to update to the latest version of VibServer, which is released about every 2 weeks, it's a simple matter of going into updates and updating your packages. That's it for that part. If you get the slide deck later, I've added a few slides of what I've been doing here so you can recreate and try it yourself. About what you want to do when you move to Azure. And the lazy approach here, just use the marketplace, of course. Finally, you guys are welcome to come visit our booth. You can also come here, talk to me, ask me questions. We have time for questions if you have any. Also talk to some of our partners that are down at our booth. I think that's all I have for today.